Let's bring in a man who knows all about this situation into this discussion. Always great with his time here on The Morning Show. Kim Hughes joins me from WA, former captain, of course, of the Australian cricket team, knows all about the pressures and dramas that go with it. Good morning to you, Kim. What have you made of the last five or so days?
Well, certainly they've taken the focus off the Ashes coming up. But, I agree with Mark. I just think if you've been made chairman of selectors, you're involved. I just think it sets a precedence that if something else, and as Mark said, there's other players that George knows, obviously not as well as Tim Payne, and no one really knows apart from the three selectors, Tony Dottomade and George and Justin, exactly what the voting was. You just say, well, this is what we've decided to do. End of story. And I'm sure, knowing George, albeit I don't know him all that well, but, he's been a very, very fine player and would make an informed decision whether he's a great mate or not. I don't think is irrelevant.
And I think Junior raises a very good point, Kim, as to what happens if Tony Dottomade and Justin Langer are split. Now, we know that JL has already publicly supported Tim Payne. He didn't want him to step down as captain. So you've got to have a vote for there. But if Tony Dottomade has a vote against, what happens next? And you have to make sure that you don't fall into this position again. Do you think Tim Payne made the right decision for himself to step down as Australian captain?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think he understood that it was conduct unbecoming, and whether it was before he was announced as captain or after, there's been conflicting reports. But it was just not commensurate with the position of being Australian cricket captain, which comes with not only important roles on the field, but most importantly, a way in which you need to conduct yourself off the field. Which I think is just as important, particularly as the captain, yeah.
So then how does how do we view them in all of this? Because back in 2018, they were okay with the conduct of Tim Payne and they were okay to make him captain at the time and back him all the way through until it became public. Your views on Cricket Australia's role in this?
Well, I think it's been pretty average. You'd have to agree. I mean, if it was okay in 2018, why change your mind now just because it's become public? I just think that, so what are we saying? That as long as we keep it in-house, we'll make our decisions. But if it gets out into the public arena, we'll make a different decision. I mean, surely to goodness, if you make a decision on such an important thing, you stand by that position irrespective of whether it gets out or not. And quite frankly, in today's technology, you'd be living under a rock if you didn't think that eventually it's going to come out. The other thing about the coach as a selector, I've never, ever agreed that that a coach should be a selector. I just think if you're a player that's struggling with form, you want to be able to go to someone, and if you know that the coach is a selector, you're a bit hesitant, I would have thought, to really go there and open up and say, mate, I'm really struggling. It still doesn't mean that the coach doesn't have an input. Obviously, that person would, because if you're doing a selection job, you'd sit down with the coach and say, well, how do you see it from inside or in the inner circle? They still have a say, albeit that you don't have an actual vote on it. But I would have thought that if you've got three intelligent selectors, that if a coach says, well, look, this bloke's really struggling, I think it'd be best if he's rested or goes back to Sheffield Shield or whatever it is, then you would go by that because that person is the closest rather than the selectors. But anyway, they've changed that and they're stuck with that. And knowing Justin, he would always do a very, very honest job.
Kim, very few people know what it's like to be under the pressure of being the Australian cricket captain. It's such a highly regarded job in this country, and very few people know the kind of pressures that go with having to resign that position as well, and the mental and physical, I guess, anguish that goes with it. So when you sat there and watched Tim Payne go through what he's gone through publicly, make that announcement publicly, knowing that you went through all that as well, just give us an insight into the kind of toll that it can take.
Well, it certainly can. And when I resigned, I was with my coach, Frank Parry, saying to me, the day you're no longer having fun in whatever you want to do, you give it away. And I was no longer having fun. We constantly played the West Indies. Winning hides all sins, and that wasn't much fun. Not that you shied away from that, but it would have been nice to have played a few others. I think my last 15 games were against the West Indies, and they had a couple of few scrubbers called Roberts, Holden, Croft, Garner and Marshall. Yes. I would have liked to have played a few other teams as well. But it just got... I had no more petrol left in the tank, and I thought the best thing for me is to... Is to move away from it, and Alan Border then took over, and he wasn't one that was sort of putting his hand for him and that, but he did an unbelievable job, Alan, and he gradually grew into that position. All credit to him. Kim Payne, and I've said this before, Matt, you know he's going to have to live with that, as Greg Chappell has. Greg Chappell, apart from Sir Donald Bradman, is in the next, pantheon of our greatest players, together with Dennis Lilley and all the other, and Ricky Ponting and all the others, that type of thing. But the thing that I remember most out of that is that when the Sandpapergate episode happened in South Africa, what, 3 years ago or so, Trevor Chappell was... quoted in, it was on the front page of The Australian, and really brought a tear to my eye, where he said that he felt that association with the underarm, cost him his marriage and a chance to have children. Well, there are some things that people can handle better than others, and I was really, goodness sake, when that comes out, you think, Jesus. And Trevor was only acting on instructions, and also, for your listeners, Matt, that was within the rules of the game, but certainly not in the spirit of the game. So
that's right.
Tim is going to have to live with that, and it's great to see that he chatted to his wife about it, and whilst there was obviously a period of angst and that type of thing, they have stayed together, and they've got two lovely young children, so... He's hoping that he can move on. Now, whether he gets picked for Australia or not, that we'll know that in the next week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a human toll here across the board that we always have to take into account. Great to get your thoughts, as always, Kim. Thanks for your time this morning.
A pleasure, Matt. Always, anytime.
Good on you. Kim Hughes there joining us this morning. If there's one man who can say it like it is, it is certainly Kim, and I really appreciate his time. We'll be catching up with Marcus Harris very soon from the Australian camp. Going to be interesting to see how he views heading into this first Ashes test, knowing that his selector has said you're good to go, that his coach has said you're good to go. So does that make it just a nice, easy sort of run-in, if there is anything like that towards an Ashes series? We're going to find out soon.